Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
One of the things that I have heard throughout my ministry is that the God of the Old Testament is mean and the God of the New Testament is loving and kind. And therefore, we really should stay out of the Old Testament and focus on the New. The problem with that view is that it's ultimately assaulting the attribute of God's immutability, as if God changes. The New Testament writers valued the Old Testament. In fact, they told us to read and study and preach from the Old Testament. Paul did that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he's looking at Israel in the golden calf event on Mount Sinai and the problem of idolatry, telling the New Testament church, don't do the same things as them. We today are called, just like Old Testament Israel, to take sin seriously. That is so challenging in a culture that tells you to do what you want with your body, live how you want, do what makes you happy, and in the end, God will not condemn. We're going to look at that today on Abounding Grace Radio, since we are continuing our study in the book of Exodus from the golden calf event and the consequences now that Moses has to deal with in the camp because of their corruption in worship and their worshiping of the false god, a calf they made and called Yahweh. We're going to look at this today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for tuning into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for all of your support. You've been such an encouragement to us. We want to help you understand the scriptures, ultimately with the goal that you would understand why you need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is now part two of the message that we started yesterday from Exodus chapter 32, taking sin seriously. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
There comes these moments that Jesus so graciously stands, come, come. Whose side are you on? You've been playing fast and loose with him. Your idols have been ruling to you. Look what you run to. Look what you do. Whose side are you on? It's just time to decide. Whose side are you on? Stop playing fast and loose. It's Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah, if the Lord is God, follow him. You're faltering between two opinions here, and there's no middle ground. If the Lord's God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. You're either for him or against him. Can't serve God and mammon. Well, Moses does this. Guess what happened? Picture this. He stands at the entrance of the camp, calling out at the top of his voice to a million people, come now. Guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing. No one from Israel except the Levites came. We're not looking at the world. We're in the holy camp. They didn't take him seriously. You read in verse 26 that the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him. So they came, but that's it. I can't get over that the whole of the people didn't take it seriously. They just probably scowled and rolled their eyes. Oh, old traditional Moses. You can't do that for very long. You got to stop. Not going to get away with it. This is what earned Israel the title of being stiff-necked right here. It'd be used throughout history. You have an entire nation deciding against the Lord, and there was no stand. There was no stand. They heard the call. They just sat there. They just stood there. They didn't come. They refused him who speaks, says Hebrews. So the tension's building. We got a problem here. Moses is given the call. They have sinned a great sin. God is just. He's given them the opportunity to repent. None. No repentance. What do you do at that point? What do you do at that point? What should God do at that point? Well, he already made the proposal. Let's just wipe them out and start over. Moses says, no. So what do you do? Are people taking it seriously? You ever feel that today? Do people take this seriously? Well, we know what happens when people do take it seriously. You have a hunger for the word, and you have a real broken and contrite heart that then follows, like David, I've sinned against the Lord, and I know what I'm doing is wrong. Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's all over the scripture. You get that, then you know they've come. That's coming. That's coming. What happens when people don't come? What did you get from Aaron? Denial. From the leader and maker of the idol himself, calm down, Moses. The sin thing's not that bad. It's all everyone else's fault. I can just hear it all today. You see that God inspired us. Nobody would ever write this stuff down to try to expose themselves like this in history. History is written by winners, right? History is always written by the winners, and a positive presentation of the great displays of people are put down in the books for you, not this. So you know it's from the Lord. I can hear the mentality, too much. Or maybe they did our mentality of American Christianity, oh, God's forgiving, God's not going to judge. Maybe that's what they did. God's full of grace, God won't punish. What do you do? What's needed? Well, when we experience this, what does God call us to do? I'll tell you what happened in Israel that day. Look at verse 29. Today, you have been ordained for service to the Lord, each one, at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. Huh? It's ordination day. You're standing with God. So what was the command? Tough verse. Put your sword on your side, verse 28, 27. Put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp. Each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. Today, you're ordained at the cost of your sons. What if that were your son? Feeling this? Go kill even your family. God had specifically charged the Levites to go on a purging of a certain number of people who probably were the ringleaders of this idolatry, who had been nothing but thorns in the camp, probably tares, the Lord knows, who were infecting everyone else. Same sort of thing happened with Achan. Remember the sin that had contaminated the camp, and the Lord was bothered with the whole camp because Achan was in the camp. What we have here in this passage is a severe Old Testament passage of discipline. That's why I read 1 Corinthians 10 today, because you can't just say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's what people love to do when they don't want to have to deal with reality. Do you think Israel finally started taking seriously sin when they saw the Levites, these armed warriors, coming through the camp with swords? I think so. What conclusion did they draw finally? We're wrong. We're wrong. But what was the alternative? Well, the alternative was to say, I don't agree with any of this discipline stuff. To do what Aaron did, no big deal. Let it all go unrestrained. There were serious consequences down the road for this. I think it's helpful to remember that Aaron's two sons were Nadab and Abihu, and when they had their worship service and they had been taught by dad not to take any of this seriously, when they abused the worship of God, fire from God fell on them and consumed them. You read that Aaron got hot. First time Aaron gets hot. Moses says, Aaron, you never listened. Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. God told you that at Sinai, Aaron. You've never listened to it. You've just done your thing. I was reading Psalm 78 this week. I was really moved by Psalm 78. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they would turn, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation. This generation rose up incredibly stubborn, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. They didn't keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. You come to this, and you see that, you know, when you answer as a pastor to the Lord, and the Lord says, did you preach my word? As I can say in good conscience, I believe I've hit the intention of this text to say, have we taken sin seriously? I've seen all kinds of parents justify and refuse to stand with God when it comes to their children and family. There was the terrible problem that family always got first place before the Lord, so that when a child refused and fell into sin, the father refused even to address it. You understand what the Levites are being called to here. Be willing in your ordination to oppose your family with the sword. I believe this was the effect Jesus had when he said, don't think I came to bring peace on the earth. I've not come to bring peace but sword, for I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of their own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter, not worthy. Jesus was constantly running up of people who stood with family over him. So what's God doing here? Discipline. Discipline. People don't understand church discipline. I struggled to understand it a long time. They think it's unloving. They think it's mean. They think it's cruel. The amazing thing about the new covenant, you know, is that When I hear people who say I have a problem with church discipline, we're not even wielding the sword. There's no blood being shed. It's spiritual discipline, and they have a problem even with that. We don't use guns against our people. It's not what these men are called to do. You heard the song we sang. But when discipline happens, there is a real goal of protecting the family and the spiritual family, and protecting the body of Christ, to bring a godly fear in the life of the body that protects the body, instead of doing nothing, which opens it up to this stuff. I was reading in the form for excommunication, and it'd be interesting how many times we've ever even heard it in the course of our lives. But there was a prayer in there, and I want you to listen to this prayer. O righteous God, merciful Father, before your high majesty, we blame ourselves for our sins and acknowledge we have justly deserved the sorrow and pain caused by the excommunication of this, our late fellow member. If you entered into judgment with us, as a scripture, we all deserve to be excluded and banished from your presence on account of our great transgression. But, O Lord, be gracious to us for Christ's sake. Forgive our trespass, for we heartily repent of them, and work in our hearts an increasing measure of sorrow for them, that fearing your judgments, which thou bring upon the stiff-necked, we may endeavor to please you. You don't do anything. That, in fact, never happens in the life of a church. And that's what the Lord is here doing in the life of the congregation. You say, well, 3,000 people were killed, and I'd say, well, that was 0.5% of adults, Israel's adult population. 0.5% to stop this. Remember when the Lord gave the call, nobody came. What do you do? What do you do? They're not listening. Moses understood that a church body that does nothing when sin is openly practiced tramples God's holiness to the ground, exalts a false god in the place, and then the world looks at us and never takes us seriously. You remember that was the effect with Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. When the Holy Spirit exercised church discipline in Acts and struck them down for holding back, it said great fear came on who? All the people out there. Whoa, this group is to be taken seriously. But let them get in there and rock out and do whatever they want. There's just the world. There's nothing there. Nothing there. People who don't take seriously discipline are exposing they don't take sin seriously. People who don't take serious discipline are exposing they don't take God seriously. And the reason God commands parents even to discipline, because he says, if you spare your rod, you hate your son. Told you'd be a tough sermon. And this is where the text takes us. You have to feel this. We never feel this. The greatest issue that we will never escape, whether you like this or not, whether you say, I can't even hear this or not, the greatest issue you're going to have to deal with in the course of your life is if we have sinned, how can the wrath of a holy God be propitiated? Satisfied. Moses is so concerned about this issue. He's pulverized the idol. He's done discipline. But what had to happen? The greatest thing had to happen. God had to be appeased. He's still up there in wrath. He told Moses, I will visit and punish sin to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, by no means clearing the guilty. We never want to hear that. Moses is really concerned about this. So he begins to start thinking, something's got to satisfy him. Listen, Israel, I'll try it. I'll do it for you. Boy, mean Moses, legalistic Moses, angry Moses, just showed the greatest pastor's heart in the entire Bible, besides Jesus. I'll go try for you. So Moses goes up, verse 31. He returned to the Lord. Alas, this people has sinned a great sin, Lord. They've made for themselves gods of gold. Notice how direct he is. He's not doing what Aaron did. Don't let the anger of your Lord get hot. Never do that. Don't be so hard on him, God. This is the first way of approaching the Lord. Lord, what we've done is bad. It's a great sin. Yet I know, verse 32, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of the book that you have written. Lord, if you'll just let it go, but if you can't just let it go, by the way, he can't just let it go. That would trample his justice. He doesn't just let it go. If you can't just forgive it, blot me out of the book you've written. It's not the intention here to start asking whether salvation can be lost. That's not what's going on. Lord, here's the intention. I see how bad this is. Will you let me step in for him? I'll take it. Will you let me take the blow for him? That's the heart of a servant. Paul said the same thing about Israel. I would gladly step in their place for my countrymen if I could. Boys and girls, you see why you learn the Heidelberg Catechism? This is a really important question in the Heidelberg Catechism that goes like this. Can any creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? Well, no. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's anger against sin and release others from it. So what did God answer to Moses? The Lord says, whoever sinned, I'm dealing with him. I'll blot him out. In other words, no. Your proposal's rejected. I won't accept another offer for atonement from you. And the Lord will go on to say, I will visit the punishment for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of the calf which Aaron made. You're shocked because none of this fits the American religion of Christianity. It just doesn't fit. You'll notice how uncomfortable this all makes us feel. We've never heard God say no. We can't handle him saying no. Think about it. Well, this is why Paul called the ministry in the Old Covenant a ministry of death. It didn't have a mediator who could deliver. Anyone who remained under it, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things written in the book of the law to do them. They broke this covenant. That's Jeremiah 31, my covenant which they broke. God wants us to understand the awful predicament we are in if we're left to maintain the standard of God's holiness that he demands. And here, you say, well, where's hope? Well, that's where I'm getting tonight. Can I give a really, not a whipping, but a pastoral plea to come back tonight? Because it's a doubleheader. Does that work? I'm going to really show you the answer God gives and answer the question of the sermon. Is God against us? If you don't care, you don't have to be here, right? But I trust you care. He speaks of grace in the next section and then begins to proclaim the name of the Lord. Listen to this. Yahweh. Then Yahweh passed by Moses and proclaims the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sins. Moses, you can't do it, but I'll do it for you. How wonderful. I'll come down and do it. And then you look at the Son of God, who comes here as the true pastor. They've committed great sins, Lord. Can you hear his prayer? I'll go down for them and I'll come back up for them. I love them. I'll forgive their sins. I'll make the payment. Blot me out of the book. Let the curse fall on me. That's what it says. Let them fall so that I might bless them and put them in my Lamb's book of life with no deeds mentioned in the Lamb's book of life. Father says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. You listen to him. You hear him. You give yourselves to listen to him. And Moses tonight goes out and he sets up an alternate tabernacle. He sets up another tabernacle and Moses goes and shows them how to come to Jesus. Today is ordination day. Servants set apart to minister not judgment to you, but hope, peace, forgiveness, grace, love. There's going to be tests in this body. There's going to be tests over loyalties to your children. There's going to be tests over family loyalties. In fact, the Lord may bring that. Because we idolize those things. And when idolatry gets in our families, terrible things happen. But the Lord wants you to know he's setting apart men who care about you, who love you, and are going to help you and call you to repentance. And that's an act of mercy. And the leaders today are charged to take that seriously. I'm charged to take that seriously. I'll be the first to say this morning that I have failed in being serious enough about sin in my own life and as a pastor. But his mercies are great. And he loves his flock. And I pray that everyone in this building then today has heard this. Come to me. All you who labor and are weary, come to Jesus. And I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm not pulling out the sword on you. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.